Good morning. Let's turn to Romans chapter 7. Romans 7. Or do you not know, brethren, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives. For the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. So then if while her husband is living, she is joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we might bear fruit for God. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that which by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit and not in oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law, for I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, taking opportunity through commandment, produced in me coveting of every kind, for apart from the law, sin is dead. And I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin became alive and I died. And this commandment, which was to result in life, proved to result in death for me. For sin, taking opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Therefore, did that which is good become a cause of death for me? May it never be. Rather, it was sin, in order that I might be shown to be sin by effecting my death through that which is good, that through the commandment sin might become utterly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For which I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not wish to do, I agree with the law confessing that it is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which indwells me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I wish, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not wish. But if I am doing the very thing I do not wish, I am no longer one doing it, but sin which indwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wishes to do good. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. Amen. This actually is a really great passage, and you know I've used verse 14 and down, you know, many times in my life to try to figure out, you know, what's going on. But in the beginning of chapter 7, he talks about, you know, the law, and he says, you know, and so he's speaking to those who are under the law. So this message or this part is primarily spoken to the Jewish people. You know, and he tells them, he says, hey, you need to, when you find Christ, you need to be dead to the law, right? And so the way that he lays this out, right, he talks about the marital relationship, you know, and if you've been around SP long enough, you know that we talk about this idea, right, and of one flesh. And this is why it's so important, you know, and I mean, I don't want to be offensive to anyone that's gotten a divorce or, you know, or you know, any of those things. You know, I mean, we could talk about, you know, the you know, the details of it later on, but it was such a foreign a thought to God, you know, in that when a man and a woman join together, it's forever, you know. But what releases, you know, the husband or the wife is actually death, you know. And so Paul uses the law, talking about the law, right? And, you know, and sin and whatnot, and he uses this marriage relationship to mirror that, because in the same way, right, if you're married, right, and then my spouse dies, now I am free of that marital bond, right, and so I could actually go and marry somebody else. But if my wife is still living and I go and find somebody else, right, then I'm committing sin. You know, and so he's saying the same thing. He's like, you can't, you know, it's like, you can't, like, you know, live under the law, right, and then live under grace at the same time, right? You have to die to the law, right, and then it's all in Christ from here on forward. And so he, you know, I mean, I thought very skillfully, you know, uses an illustration that every Jewish people would Jewish person would understand, you know, and uses that as a backdrop to begin to share about, you know, what this life in Christ. Remember this whole thing going up to about mid of chapter 8 is, you know, righteousness, you know, in God as the manner of living before, you know, before God. And so, you know, this is how we walk in righteousness, right? We are dead to the law. Now, he's not saying the law is just over and done with. He's saying, no, in fact, the law was beneficial to us because we would have not known sin outside of the law. Because the law, in a way, is a mirror to us, you know, and it leads us, it guides us, but it only goes a certain way, you know. And then it continues on, and I mean, this is a real bread and butter of this chapter, right, is verse 14. And you may think, you know, I mean, the idea, you may think that Paul's a very, very young Christian when he writes this. He's not. You know, he's like, the second, third missionary journey that he writes this passage in. You know, and so he's a mature Christian that started churches already, right, that's, you know, discipled many, many people, set up elders, I mean, all kinds of wonderful things. And he talks about this warfare that's going on inside of him, right? And, you know, I think many of us can read this and we can all kind of like, yeah, I've been there myself. You know, I've been through this. You know, I practice the very things that I do not wish, right? And you know, and I'm doing the very things that I don't want to do, but I find myself doing these things. You know, I actually had one of these episodes this past week, and I went to go pick up Elise from school, and you know, that was fine. And then I had to go to a Hopewell Center and to pick up a DVD player at Philips. You know, that was broken, so. You know, I drove into Hopewell, and I don't know if you guys have been there on the Kennedy Roadside. And so I drove in, and I asked the security guards, hey, can I park here just temporarily? I need to go pick something up. And they're like, sure, go ahead, right? And so I went and put the car in, and there's some spaces right on, you know, the car park right there. And then I went out, and the guards, you know, took my receipt, and I guess they were going to do it, but I said, I got to pay. You know, and just 5 minutes and et cetera, et cetera. It's a long story, and then nothing happened. And then this lady came out of nowhere, you know, and she had just parked her car, and she came out and said, oh, you cannot do this, you know, like waving her finger in my face, right? You know, and I just told her, I said, hey, ma'am, this is none of your business, so stay out of it, right? So I'm talking, because these security guards let me, she goes, well, I own this building, you know, blah, 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 and stuff. And I was like, I don't care, you know, and I started getting upset. Right, and so, you know, long story short, right, I lost my temper, you know, I mean, I didn't yell at anybody, you know, but I very sternly stated my position, you know, without trying to raise my voice too much. And then afterwards, so then, you know, so I basically moved my car and everything, and then I was back in my car, and I was like, man, what's wrong with me? Like, I'm fasting right now. You know what I mean? I was like, why am I getting upset about this woman? And, man, she really annoyed me. I mean, to no end, you know, like, I don't care if you own Hong Kong. Like, who do you think you are, you know, and stuff. And, you know, I'm still a little upset, you know, about this. But it's like this, you know, like, there's war waging inside of me, you know. I mean, there's a war waging inside of, you know, every one of us. That no matter, you know, how close we are to God, there's a duality that's going at work. Our spirit, you know, is willing. Our flesh is weak. You know, there's this battle, and I think we all feel this. And this is the key to understanding this passage, okay? We're all gonna struggle with it, right? But the key in Paul that you gotta catch is it bothers him. That's the key. It bothers Paul that there's this war going on. The moment it stops bothering you, you're in trouble. You guys understand what I'm saying? Right? Because the reality, right? We're in the world, but we're not of the world, right? There's this duality. God sent us into this place. You know, there's evil in us, but yet we are saved by grace, right? Our spirit is alive, but our flesh is weak. You know, and again, right, Paul's speaking out of a real genuine maturity in his faith, right? He's not like a, you know, first-year Christian or second-year Christian, but he recognizes a struggle that's going on within him, you know? And I think in many ways, for many of us, that's very healthy, right? It's healthy that you recognize there's a struggle within us. And there is, isn't it? I mean, we're tempted all the time. You know, we're, and maybe as we grow older, you know, and like more mature in the Lord, maybe the kind of temptations that maybe hit us, you know, when we're the first, second year Christian is different when you're the 20 year Christian. You know what I mean? And stuff. And, you know, and, but the temptation is still there, right? The flesh that's always trying to grab an opportunity in our life is always there. Right, and so the beauty of the passage, right? It actually, this is one thought. It, like, Paul doesn't stop, you know, and then chapter 8 starts, and he stops. It actually continues on, you know. But we'll get to the rest of it tomorrow, you know. And this is whole thing is like he finds himself unable, right, to help himself in any way, and I think that's really one of the keys to overcoming, right? That you find yourself unable to help yourself in any way. And he begs the question, who can set me free from this? You know, I can't depend on, because if I depend on myself, I'm going to do the very thing that I don't want to do. The very thing that I don't want to do, I'm going to practice these things, right? And the thing that I do want to do, I don't do those things, right? Because if he just depends on himself, his ability, his willpower, his own strength, right? It's not going to get anywhere. And so he asks, who can set me free from this? And he says, thanks be to God, right, through his son, Christ Jesus. Right, and then the thought will continue on, right? Listen, we will all struggle with something. You know, be it, you know, my sense of entitlement, you know. Many of you guys have that same sense. I know you guys, probably 10 times worse than I have, you know. And stuff, and not that there's any rate or scale, right? I don't want to, you know, let's not be competitive now. But, you know, there's a lot of things that are inside of us that are just screaming to get out. And we have to depend on God. You know, if you try to do it on your own, in your own strength, your own willpower, you'll only get so far, right? Because, you know, many of us are disciplined, but we know we only get so far. But if we want to be free, truly free, we have to depend on God. You know, we have to let the Lord, you know, move in our life, right? The Lord to take this place. And man, you could see this, you know, it's the conflict of two natures, you know, and the way that the waging war with each other, you know, I mean, this is so honest, right? You know, this is really, in my humble opinion, this is the most honest piece of work that Paul has written in all of the epistles, right? You know, this part here from 14 on, it's his most honest work, and he's really expressing the depth of what's going on inside, right? But it's you know, kind of a mirror, kind of a testimony, you know, to the incredible infallibility of man, you know, the incredible weakness of every single one of us, right? And so we need Jesus Christ in our life to set us free. Amen? So let's close our eyes today. Tomorrow, we get to the good stuff. Chapter 8 is the bomb. But I want to encourage you, right? And some of you guys probably are more aware of it than anyone else, because most of us know each other, right, the best. Is there something in your flesh? I mean, just being honest, right? No one else is known, just you and the Lord. Is there something in your heart, something in your flesh that's just raging to get out, and you can feel it? It may be anger, might be your pride, you know, it might be this sense of entitlement. All right, it could be envy, jealousy. know, maybe, you know, some form of sexual immorality. Something. Instead of, you know, can I make a suggestion? Instead of trying to handle it on your own, can we submit it to Christ today? Can we just offer it up to Him? And say, Lord, I am utterly weak. You know, we're right, there is no good in me. There is none righteous, not even one. And then just whatever that is, maybe it's over worry or just irrational fear. Whatever it is that's trying to escape out of our inward being to dominate our thinking and dominate our life. Whatever that may be, can I just invite you just to take whatever that is and just say, God, there's no way I can handle this on my own. Forgive me for being the lone ranger here. You know, maybe in the same way that Paul, who can set me free from worry, anxiety, fear, sexual addiction, anger, right? Entitlement, pride, whatever it is. Just let's say, Lord, only you can set me free from this. So come, Lord Jesus, and just submit whatever that is that's raging inside your innermost being before the Lord.
Oh,
tempting to give those things to the Lord that are a temptation to us. Let's just begin to lay down, you know, whatever it may be. Let's just spend a moment before the Lord and just begin to offer up to Him those things that are, you know, just raging to get out from us. You know, we don't want behavior modification, right? That only goes so far. We want the Lord to transform us from within. And so let's just begin to lay down whatever those things are that we talked about today and just give it to Jesus and say, God, You need to set me free from this thing. And just submit it to the Lord and let Him do the work, because it's already done, right? The finished work of the cross. And so appropriate that work in our life through these different issues and episodes in our life. And let's go before Jesus. Let's pray for our community that's in need. You can look at the requests there. Let's also continue to pray for Charles's family. You know, by now they would have just had the funeral. And so let's just continue to lift them up during this difficult time in their lives. And let's pray for the ones that are dealing with cancer and tumors and going through chemotherapy. Let's just lift them up before the Lord. Let's lift up our members that are sick, but also need salvation, and ones that are sick and also people looking for work. Let's just lift them up. Thank you. pray for our mission focus, and let's lift up the country of Thailand, ask God to move throughout this Buddhist nation. Let's pray for our missionary Rachel Warlick as well, ask the Lord to continue to use her. Pray for the Philippines, pray for our clinic in Elder Zhang, ask the Lord to continue to use him and the clinic to be a blessing in the midst of a huge leper colony. Let's just pray. Let's pray for our ministries. So let's pray for our worship team. Pray for Pastor Nate and other leaders. Pray for our sound and media team that they would do their work well and serve the Lord with joy. Let's lift up all the worship leaders and ask God's hand to be with them, and that they would be worshipers first and foremost. Let's lift up. Pray for our house churches, the meeting tonight. Let's pray for Causeway Bay, MacDaddy, McRobinson, Tregunter, and Waterfront. Let's ask God's hand to be with the leaders as they lead and as they guide, and all the members would come together and just really feel the presence of God in community together. So just lift up this time before the Lord tonight. Pray for Ashley. Pray for a direction the next year and perseverance at work. Pray for her grandfather to know the Lord and be healed of his dementia. Let's just read the requests on top, and let's just pray for Ash. Pray for Bernice, pray for a vision for Jem and Kez, and to pray according to his will, Rob, the wisdom in her to raise her children. Pray for Rob's salvation. Right? Salvation belongs to the Lord, and let's pray that he would just be moved by God to give his life to him. Let's pray. pray for my family. Let's pray for the girls to grow in wisdom and stature, favor with God and man. For Lisa to continue to grow as a leader, wife, and mom. And pray for me to lead the church and to manage my time well at home. And special request, we're leaving the kids for a week. We're going on our 10th anniversary in Feb. And so just pray that Hannah gets weaned properly and well. We just bless you, God. We thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray, God, over every one of us, Lord, just like Paul, God, let it bother us, Lord, that there is a war that's raging within us. God, let it bother us to the point, Father God, where we seek after you, Lord. God, forgive us for our self-sufficiency, God, our self-dependence, Lord. God, we want to just draw near to you, Lord. We want to depend on you and you alone. And so help us, God. And even this morning, Lord, help us to take those steps, God, or to move us from a self-centered faith to a God-centered faith, God, to totally depend on you. We thank you, Father. Lord, just continue to watch over us the rest of this day, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys, and have a great day today.